Thank you for that, Mandy. And what a truth that is. If it hadn't been for the cross, if it hadn't been for Calvary, if it hadn't been for a man called Jesus, where would we be this morning? Amen. And we're glad that you're here this morning. Let me invite you there. Take your Bibles if you have it. And turn with us to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. And we'll be there in a few moments. But of course, again, today is our church anniversary. And, you know, as we think about 136 years, not many churches can say that they have existed for 100 plus years, being a light to their community in the same location, the same corner for all of that time. And, you know, there's many aspects and many things that people today think that a church are. And we're going to see primarily from Scripture this morning exactly what the church is supposed to be. But as I got thinking about the church and why it's a special place and why I personally, I love the local church. I don't know where I would be without the local church. And so I got to thinking this morning, Mandy and I have had the privilege now, or at least Mandy and I together, we've had the privilege to serve in four churches, my church, her church, the church in Oklahoma, and now here. Well, this church here is my home church there in South Philadelphia at the corner of Broad and Rittner. And this particular picture was taken. All those people don't go to the church, by the way. But that picture was taken back in 2018 when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And so the parade route went down Broad Street. And I remember being there back in 2008 when the Phillies won the World Series. And there was not nearly this many people for the Phillies World Series parade. I think pretty much the whole city of Philadelphia showed up for the Eagles parade that particular day. But that's our home church there, and they are over 200 years old. And that's a picture. That was our last vacation Bible school back in 2014. That was our Sunday morning service, and that was our closing ceremony for the vacation Bible school program. And we had the kids there in the first two rows. That particular Sunday, I think we had 10 visitors. We had there in that third pew, we had church planters to Michigan and just our normal church. I don't know what Ron's doing there. Looks like he's waving Pentecostal hands next to the guy in the white shirt. But that was Lighthouse Baptist Church there in South Philly. And special place. That's where I got saved. That's where I got called into the ministry, where I was licensed to preach, where I was ordained as a pastor. And that church just holds a special place in my heart. And then this was our church there in Oklahoma, and a little church there on East North Street, which for some reason, the church was considered inside the city limits. So you had the main church building. You had, well, there in the middle, you had an old school building. The pastor before me, he was a bus driver for the local school system, and that they had modular buildings for the school system. So they were getting rid of them. And so the church bought one and converted it into our fellowship hall. And then there was an old, I guess, single-wide or double-wide trailer. That's where the church originally met when they first got started. And that was our Sunday school week. So we had to go outside if we wanted to go to the fellowship hall, if we wanted to go to do the Sunday school building. And the church building itself was actually built to where it was built on kind of lifts, so we could actually take the main church building. If we ever got more land, then we could move that building. And then the two side walls, they were not load-bearing walls. And so if we ever wanted to expand, we could knock those walls out and expand on to those walls. And there we have, this was our, back in 2018, That was our 30th church anniversary. Our 30th church anniversary. And sitting there in the front pew, that was the witness ensemble from Heartland Baptist Bible College in Oklahoma City. And then the fellow sitting there in the second pew, that was Pastor Hall. And he was there for 20-some years before we got there. And then that was a good Sunday. And then you can't see him in this photo, but towards the back of the photo, we had, those of you that know Brother Bob, we had some of his family there. And they were, you know, pretty big guys. And so they sat all on one pew for the afternoon service. And, well, they wound up cracking the one pew and breaking the pew. So Brother Bob had to come in and had to reinforce the pew later in the week. But that was our 30th anniversary. And just like the church in Philly, that was a special place to us. And then, of course, we are now here back home in Pennsylvania, and another special place that we get to call home and get to minister and get to serve and get to just see the Lord do great things. But we've been blessed in the three churches, and Mandy's church there in Texas, to be part of churches that just love the Lord and just wanted to see things be accomplished for His honor and His glory. But I share these pictures, I say those things to just remind us this morning that the church is a special place. And even though those are three different churches, one in Philadelphia, one in Oklahoma, one here in Sarah, Pennsylvania, they all make up the family of God. They all make up the people of God. And the church is indeed a special place. But you're there, Genesis chapter 35, and I want us to see some things about this special place called the church this morning. Genesis chapter 35, and notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 7. Genesis chapter 35, beginning at verse number 1, down through verse number 7. The Bible said, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob said unto the and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which was in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar, and called the place El Bethel, because their God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother." For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach you this thought: a place of worship. A place of worship. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And the Father, now I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And Lord, may the message of this morning be a help, a challenge, and an encouragement to these your people. And Father, this morning I pray that you would just speak to hearts. And the Lord, may the message just be applied. Lord, give me the wisdom to say that which needs to be said, and the wisdom to hold back that which needs not to be said. Lord, if there's one here this morning that needs Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this place without getting that settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And then, Lord, I pray that you would just, for those that need to hear from you this morning through your word, that they would hear from you through your word this morning. And Father, for all that you'll do, we'll love you, thank you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see here in this particular passage, we see the word repeated several times in these first seven verses. We see the word Bethel. We then see in verse number 7 the word El Bethel. Well, the word Bethel here in this Bible story simply means house of God. The word El Bethel literally means the God of the house of God. And so here we see Jacob took his family to Bethel to meet with God. He took him to the house of God to meet with God. Now, if you hear folks today, they'll say, oh, well, I can meet with God anywhere. And that certainly is true. But there really is no better place to meet with God than the house of God, when the God of the house of God is at home in the house with God's people. And as we see here that in this story, Jacob taught his family the importance of this special place. And so we see that this story this morning is an example to us as Christians of our house of God, the church. And just like Bethel, the church is God's house. And as God's people, as Christians this morning, we should not take lightly the opportunity that we have to be in God's house and to meet with God. We should look forward to the fact that we get to come to church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Sunday afternoon or a Wednesday night, and to get to come and worship the Lord together corporately and to meet with Him. Now, again, although we can talk to God anywhere, the church is and ought to be a special place with a special purpose where we talk to God and worship Him. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, in spirit we worship Him through prayer, and in truth we worship Him through the Word of God. And so we think this morning about the church. And you say, well, what makes the church a special place? What makes it a place unlike any other? Well, number one this morning, we see that the church, it was a place of preparation. It was a place of preparation. Notice there, if you would, Genesis chapter 35. And notice there, verse number 2 and verse number 4. Genesis chapter 35, verse number 2 and verse number 4. The Bible there says, then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And so we see here, Jacob and his family, they prepared to go to Bethel. They prepared to go to the house of God by, number one, by changing their garments, or in other words, by being physically clean. But not only that, they put away the strange gods, the lowercase g, those false gods, those gods who were not gods at all. And so not only were they physically clean, but spiritually they were clean. Spiritually, they were ready to go to the house of God. And, you know, likewise, we also, as God's people, we also, as God's children, as His people, we should prepare to worship at the house of God. Several times I've sent out a text message Saturday, and I sent out with the photo that says, Sunday morning church is a Saturday night decision. And it really is when you think about it. And that's why it's so vitally important that Saturday night, you know, you make sure you get a good night's sleep. You make sure that you set out your clothes. You make sure, you know, everything's ready to go. Because I guarantee you, when Sunday morning rolls around, Satan is going to do his dead level best to try and keep you from coming to church. He's going to try and keep, you know, something inevitably is going to happen, come up, go wrong. Something is going to happen, and you're going to have a decision to make. Okay, am I going to let this keep me from church, or am I going to go to church? Well, if you're more prepared, physically speaking, then you're going to usually be able to power through anything that happens, that comes up, that pops up on that Sunday morning. But then not only physically be ready, but then spiritually be ready. Sunday morning, you wake up. Have that time of prayer in the morning. Have that time that you say, okay, Lord, give us a good day. Lord, help me to be ready and open and receptive to your word. Maybe put on some good Christian music and get ready to prepare your heart for the worship that is to come corporately together as a church. And so we see that our preparation should include our physical preparation as well as the spiritual preparation of having a clean heart. And not only that, if you have some things in your life that need to be dealt with, we say often about, and we talk often about, having and keeping short sin accounts. You wake up on a Sunday morning, maybe Saturday, you got sideways with the cashier at Walmart or whatever the case may be. I don't know. But, you say, Lord, help me. Forgive me for, getting an attitude yesterday. Lord, help me for not being, the best testimony yesterday. And that way, spiritually, you're prepared and ready to come to church. But the church, we see, it was a place of preparation. And then when you come to church, the church is a place that prepares you to go out into the world for the week to come, to give you something from the Bible that can help you be a lighthouse, to help you be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to maybe even teach you something that you have never yet seen from the Scriptures, a principle or a thought or something that will help you grow in your Christian life. But we see this morning that the church house is a place of preparation. But then secondly this morning, we see that it was a place of purpose. It was a place of purpose. Notice there, if you would, Genesis chapter 35, and notice verse number 3. Verse number 3. The Bible says, "And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." And then skip down there, if you would, verses 13 through 15. Genesis chapter 35, verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, "And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel." And so we see not only was the church a place of purpose or a place of preparation this morning, but we see that it was also a place of preparation. And we see this morning that the purpose of Bethel in this story is very clear. It was a place to meet with God. It was a place to meet with God. And our purpose, when we come to the house of God, should always be first and foremost to meet with God. We talk to God through prayer. And it's because of that that God's house should always be called a house of prayer. Matthew 21 and verse 13, the Bible says, "And said unto them, It is written," this of course Jesus speaking, "My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And so we see that not only was it a place of preparation, but it had a place of purpose. It had a purpose for what the church was. And again, today, many people have many ideas of what the church's purpose is. But the church's purpose, first and foremost, is to be a place where we come to meet with God, is a place where we come to worship God. And unfortunately, today, churches, they get so bogged down in non-essentials that the worship service has almost become secondary. That the worship service is almost something that is tacked on, but the worship service is supposed to be the first primary function of the church. Tomorrow, Monday morning, or tomorrow afternoon sometime, my very first thing that I do is I start preparing for next Sunday's service. Why? Because this is the most important service of the week right here. And so I start thinking about, okay, what's the next message? What are the hymns? What are the scripture readings? Who needs added to the prayer list? Why? Because the church is a place with a purpose. And it's to meet with God. It's to meet with the Lord. Tuesday, I'll start working on Wednesday night's service. Later on in the week, I'll start working on Sunday evening. And so on and so forth. Because everything else is secondary. Updating the church website, that's secondary. Updating the church's Facebook, that's secondary. Administrative work, oh, that's definitely secondary. Third place. I hate paperwork. I hate it. I despise it with a passion. When I was a youth director and an assistant pastor, it seemed like we had paperwork out our noses, and I didn't like it. Now it's a necessary evil. It has to be done. I much more enjoy preparing messages and preparing the worship service because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what the pastor's job is to give himself to the ministry of the word. But all of the other things, they come second. And I get to those when I get to those. But the first thing is to meet with the Lord, is the worship of the Lord. But we see it's a place of preparation. It was a place of purpose. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see that it was a place of promise. It was a place of promise. Notice there, if you would, chapter 35, Genesis chapter 35, verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land." You see, it was here at Bethel, it was at the house of God, that Jacob received the promises of God. You see, the promises of God to us today, they are found for us in His Word, in the Bible. And the house of God should be a place where we read and hear the promises of God from His Holy Word. I guarantee you this morning, as we read His book from Genesis to Revelation, God has promises for you. God has promises for me. And when you make the house of God a priority, when you make it a place of worship, you find that it's a place of promise. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. The Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works." And here it is, the key, verse number 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." My question for us this morning is, do you prepare to worship at God's house? Do you talk with God at God's house? Do you read and listen to the Word of God at His house, the church? Yes, this morning, 136 years, that's something to be thankful over. That's something to rejoice in. And oh, this morning, we need to be thankful for the house of God. We need to be thankful for Bethel. We need to be thankful for El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Not only a place this morning of preparation, a place of purpose, a place of preparation, but also a place of pardon, a place of prayer, and a place of praise. And everybody this morning, everybody needs three homes. Everybody needs an earthly home. Hopefully you have that this morning. Everybody needs a church home. And then everybody needs a heavenly home. And you know, if you have all three of those, then you really are a blessed people. And this morning, let us be thankful for the house of God. And let us remember what this place was originally meant to be. A place of worship for the Lord. A place of worship for God Almighty Himself. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.